Well, good morning again. As you can see, I am not Dr. Weaver. We do have a couple of things in common. We're both old rural country Louisiana boys. And the second thing is we will never be mistaken for fishermen. If I had known, if I'd been smart 15 or 20 years ago, I would have gotten this on YouTube when it first got really prominent, you know, and started a YouTube thing. We'd be millionaires by now. We'd have so many followers, we wouldn't know what to do. And it'd be listed under two old men and a boat. I'm telling you, we have had some experiences, some harrowing and some fun. Brother Weaver is out for a week or so I'll be filling in for him in the meantime. We're going to be starting a new study today. It's a 10-week course. It's courage. Living with courage. Are we living with courage? Are we Christian living with courage? It's a good question. We're going to dive into it in just a few minutes. Our text for today is going to be in Joshua chapter 1. As you find your place there, I want to remind you that God gives us examples throughout His Word of how we can live a successful life, a Christian life, a courageous life for Him. Do we need courage? Absolutely. We're going to see during this study in the next few weeks as we go through it, it's very important to be courageous, to be willing to stand when the opportunity comes, to be wise enough not to stand when we don't need to. God gives us everything we need. We know that. So we can't live the kind of life that God wants us to live if we live in fear. The Bible specifically tells us over in 2 Timothy, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We need to take God at His promises and apply them to our lives. That's one of the things that I believe we fall short of, and we'll see in just a minute. We believe that when we believe the promises of God and claim them and then act on them, then we'll truly be successful for the Lord. And we'll be able to live that courageous Christian life that He wants us to live. If I were to use one word to describe Western Christians and Western culture today, it would not be courageous. But I believe it would be more like a word like comfortable. We've come to the point where we've been blessed so much in America that we've turned our eyes to being comfortable. And when confrontation comes or an opportunity to stand for the Lord comes, many times we allow it to slip by. I've been teaching the last 25 or so years in the singles class, and we finally outgrew it and got promoted. But one of the things I constantly were telling the younger people, if you really want to know how you're doing in your Christian walk. And I always say, ladies, when you're in there trying to figure out why those false eyelashes don't exactly fit right, and guys, when you're in there trying to shave, or if you're smart like me and you have a beard and don't have to shave, look in that mirror and ask this question: Lord, when you look at me, what do you see? If you don't want to know, don't ask, because the Holy Spirit's going to let us know. And I'm telling you, it's a great thing to be able to stand back from time to time and assess ourselves. How our life's going? Are we what we're supposed to be? Are what we claim to be? Our testimony is so important in the day we live in now. There's so many people who profess to be Christians, but you'd never know it. I always ask myself, do people I work with, do they know that I'm a Christian? How do they know? Do they know it by the way I talk, the way I engage in conversation, the way I dress, sometimes the way I react? Do they really know? It's a good question. We need to look at it from time to time, because you know why? We can slip into phases in our life, if we're not careful, where we just become too comfortable. We take our eyes off the Lord. You know, several years ago, there was a man who preached here not too long ago, Dr. O.S. Hawkins. He came out with a series of messages in the mid-90s, and it was about living in comfort zones. Living in comfort zones. He said, we become comfortable. And if we're not careful, it takes over our lives. I learned more from that series about myself than I think I have from every other series through the 50-some-odd years that I've been saved. But he talked about, you know, what are your comfort zones? Maybe it's work. Maybe you're comfortable at work. It's okay to spend all those hours at work. Maybe it's sports. Ooh, I love sports. I'm a huge football fan. I'm changing from the Cowboys, though. Might be political. Are you a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, or nothing? It can be a lot of, you know, it can even take over in church, like our church, comfort zones. We don't like to get out of our comfort zones. A few years ago, we were sitting on, I got here late, confessing, and I was sitting on the back row, and there were some people sitting in front of me. So just before church started, I got up and introduced myself to them. I said, hey, good to see you today. Are you guys visiting? Where are you from? And this lady looked at me and said, no, we've been a member for 35 years. We just sit over here. You know, sometimes we ought to just get up and go to the other side and see how everybody's doing over there. But we get in our comfort zones. Why is that important, to not get in a comfort zone? Because our human nature, our sinful human nature, wants us to drift towards Satan and away from the Lord. For the last 4 or 5 months in Bridge to Recovery on Friday nights, John Foster, our director, has been teaching a series on strongholds. And it's been very appropriate for the people that are in that section, those people coming out of prison, those people who are living tough lives and having to deal with getting back into society when society really doesn't want to help them get back in there. But one of the things that he's emphasized is don't allow strongholds to take over your life. You know, Satan, what did he do in the Garden of Eden when he was talking to Eve? He said, Lord, you're not surely going to die. He does the same thing today through our lives today. He hasn't changed. He uses the same old tricks. But you know, he starts out looking for a crack. It's kind of like the foundation of a house. If you get a crack in your foundation, you better do something about it, or it's going to be a problem down the road. The same way in our Christian lives, Satan's looking for a crack. You know why? Because he wants to expand it to become a toehold. Once it becomes a toehold, he's going to expand it even more, and then it can become a stronghold if we're not very careful. So we need to make sure that in our lives, there are no comfort zones that we can't get out of, that there are no strongholds that Satan's built to where we don't want to serve the Lord. It's easy to be a soaker, a sitter in a soaker. Okay? I've been there before. We can't get to that point in our Christian lives. So how do we live a courageous Christian life? Well, there's several things we're going to look at this morning. Did everybody get a handout? I hope you did. If you didn't, Brother Copeland will run right up here and give you one. Let's look at our scripture today in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 1 and go through verse 9. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God promises never to leave us or forsake us. And if you were to, we had time to read the rest of that passage all the way to the end of Joshua 1. One thing is in there, one theme constantly God's trying to get across to us. He uses that word courage or courageous 4 times in that one chapter. It's got to be very concerning to God that we be courageous. We need to understand that God has a plan for each of our lives. We know that. We say that. But the key is discovering that plan and then following that plan, living that plan, rather, that we may be able to accomplish what goal God has set for us. You say, well, Brother Jay, you know, I'm nobody. One of the things that I love about the Lord is he takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things with them. We're going to look at some examples here in just a minute. If you look at the setting of our scene this morning in this chapter, the Israelites had finally come to the Jordan River. Moses has passed away, and the mantle has been passed now to Joshua, and he's supposed to lead the people across. I'm sure that was a pretty daunting task to him. Even though he'd been Moses' right-hand man, he hadn't been in command. One of the things that I'm sure he thought of is, you know, no matter what I do, right or wrong, I'll always be compared to Moses. Yeah, that's pretty tough when you step out. I think of Dr. Barber being here all the years. What a wonderful, fantastic preacher. And then Dr. Weaver comes in, just an old country boy from North Louisiana. First day he got here, I asked him, I said, well, what kind of changes are you going to make? He said, absolutely none. He said, I'd be crazy to come in here and try to change things that are working. He said, now, there's some things I might do different over a period of time, but I'm not changing anything. Everything's fine. And then for almost 20 years, he's our pastor. And then here comes this young guy. What an awesome thing God has done bringing Tyler Gillett. What an awesome thing is that we still have 2 retired preachers, not really retired, but still in our congregation. You do not see that anywhere. Brother Tyler has been very, very protective of both Dr. Barber and Dr. Weaver. He's been gracious. He's been kind. Thankfully, he still lets them preach every now and then. And so we've been blessed beyond measure here. But I'm sure Joshua, at that time, he had some concerns. God just told him, said, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to be with you. And then he turns around and he says, yes, okay, God's going to be with me. He turns around, he looks, and the Jordan River is overflowing its banks. It's flooded. I can imagine him thinking, boy, what a way to start. How am I going to get across this flooded river? But you know, God says he's going to be with us. I love the fact that he just doesn't come to a trial with us and then all of a sudden he says, okay, Jay, you go ahead and do this. I'll meet you back over here when you get through. Everything's going to be fine. Just do what I tell you to do. No, he walks through it with us. How awesome is that? We serve an awesome God, don't we? Well, there's some things that we need to do, though, to live a courageous Christian life. We're going to look at those. Look back at your handout there. The first thing he says is trust God's promises. Trust, it's a big word. Some of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him. Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust. We're going to find that being a courageous Christian involves trust, trusting God. The first thing, trusting his promises. Look at Genesis 13 there. It says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I'll give it unto thee. That's what the Lord told Abraham. You know, the funny thing about that, as we look at the world situation today, one of the things that's always stuck out to me is if you look at the size of the inheritance that God was giving Abraham's seed, it's much greater than what they occupy today. They have never occupied more than about 10% of it. All those people that give them grief, the Iraqis, the Jordanians, all those people, that's God's land. That's his gift to the Israelites. So we need to understand when God gives a promise, we not only need to claim it, we need to claim all of it. Every word of it, and not shy away from what he tells us he can and will do. By faith, we're saved, okay? Faith is an action word. It takes an action. If I were to walk out to Danny and say, Danny, I've got a $100 bill here for you, brother. If Danny sat there like a bump on a log, he'd never get that, would he? There's an action involved. He had to reach out and take it. It's just like salvation. It's there. Been paid for. It's our free gift from God, but we have to take it. Same thing that the Israelites were dealing with. The promised land was there. God says, there it is. Go over there and take it. I'm going to be with you. But there had to be some action on their part. There needs to be action on our part as we claim God's promises. Be ye what? Doers. Not just hearers only. So there's a part that we need to fulfill if we want to be the courageous Christian that God wants us to be. Look at the quote down there. It says, leadership begins with being, but it ultimately results in doing. Requires action, okay? God is looking for those with whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we can do by ourselves. Ouch. Boy, that hurts. You know, that'll hurt your pride if you're a prideful Christian. Last part of John 15:5. I love those last few words there. And without me, you can do nothing. God will give us what we need. He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the resources. But there's an action on our part. And he will give us the ability. What's that old saying? The greatest ability is availability. Are we available? Does God have something in your life, in your heart that he wants you to do? Are you willing to step out by faith, by courage that he gives? Not our courage, but his courage. We need to take a look sometimes. I think we miss a lot of the potential of what God really has for us. because we're not courageous enough to step out and claim what God has told us he wants for us. So we need to trust God's promises. And then we need to trust God's presence. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God's able to supply our every need. I think sometimes we get past that. We get caught up in this old world about working and getting ahead. And there's nothing wrong with setting goals and things like that. But I think sometimes we get the cart before the horse. We want to step out ahead of God and not wait on God. He's going to provide everything. He's all-powerful. He can give us everything we need. But we do need to wait on him. And then when the time is right, when he lets us know, then we need to step out. But we need to trust in his presence. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that God will never leave us or never forsake us. Do we believe it? When it comes to a trial, you know what our human nature tells us to do? This is, I've done this. If you're honest, you have too. A trial or a situation, a circumstance comes up in our lives, and the first thing we want to do is do the pros and cons. You know, if I do this or if I do that, you know, if I do this, if this happens, I can do that. If this happens, I can do this. Move on to this. Instead of when it comes, the first thing we need to do is go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, here's the situation. Show me how I'm supposed to act and react in this situation. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I can't do it. You already said, without me, you can do nothing. So a lot of times we go through a lot of unnecessary worrying and things like that when we don't have to. Give it to the Lord. He's with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's exactly the one who can give us everything we need. So we need to understand that his presence is very important. And not start trusting in ourselves. That's the human way. That's our old sinful way. We need to get past that. So we have to trust his presence by allowing him to guide us and direct us. Isn't it awesome that we have the Holy Spirit? God gave the Holy Spirit to us the moment we're saved. What's it for? What's he for? The Bible says, Scripture says, he's to be our comforter. He's to be our guide. But you know, there's another part that we leave out sometimes. He's to be our teacher. Teacher. Are we teachable? Are we still teachable? I remember when I got saved, I was so excited, I didn't know what to do. I didn't get saved until I was 25 years old. And then I was in the deadest of the dead churches you would ever be in. Nobody told me I should be reading my Bible every day. Nobody told me about praying. So I've been there about 6 months, and on a Wednesday night, we were in there gathering everything. And just at the end of the service, this guy says, okay, Brother Jay, I want you to lead us in prayer. Let me tell you, I've had 3 heart attacks. That was almost my first one. It wasn't. But I didn't have a clue. You know, wasted time, wasted years. If I could go back in time, what would I do? I'd sure be more diligent about studying God's word and about having a prayer life. I'd go into him every day, sharing everything with him. He's with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. But remember this, we have to remember this. He's with us everywhere we go. He's with us in every conversation that we have, every situation at work. So we need to be careful and remember that. We talked to the people on Friday nights about if you're an alcoholic, the last place you want to go is to a bar room. Common sense, huh? You know? If you're a drug addict, the thing you want to do is refuse those drugs. Stay away from them. Get away from those friends that cause you to fall back into that. Well, you know, as Christians who maybe don't have a drug problem, or an alcohol problem, we need to remember where we go makes a difference. We need to remember how we act and react makes a difference. When that guy at work starts to tell a dirty joke, what are you going to do? Stand there and listen? Or are you going to turn around and walk away? When I first got into engineering, I had a boss who wanted to have a Friday afternoon meeting at the Holiday Inn at happy hour. And I had a choice to make. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. What am I going to do? Am I going to go to happy hour? I told him, I said, well, I can't go there, boss. He said, what do you mean you can't go there? I said, well, you know, I don't need to be around all the stuff that goes on there at happy hour. He said, well, you don't have any choice. That's where I'm holding the meeting. I said, yes, sir, I have a choice. The question is, am I going to stand for what I believe? Or am I just running my mouth all the time? We have to make choices. God's with us everywhere we go. Those things that come out of our mouth, are they honoring him? Do they bring praise and honor and glory to him? Do the people at work know that I'm a Christian? How do they know? By the way I dress? By the way I walk? The way I talk? So there's two sides to that story. God never leaves us or forsakes us. We need to be aware that we need to be careful not to take him places he doesn't need to be. We need to understand that, you know, his presence is protective. That's the letter A there. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. That's Moses. He's talking to God. He said, God, if you're not going to be with me, I'm not going. I am not going. Then, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to understand his presence is protected, but we need to allow him to protect us. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then his presence gives us courage. That gives us courage because we know he's always there. Listen to Franklin D. Roosevelt. God is looking for those with whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we can do by ourselves. Wow, that's hard, isn't it? But it's reality. A lot of times it's too much about me. It's too much about I. It should be all about him. We need to allow him to rule our lives. If we say he's in control, we need to let him be in control. When he's in our presence at all times, that means that he is going to protect us and he is going to give us the courage we need when the time comes to stand up and speak. How many times have you had an opportunity to say something about the Lord and you just couldn't quite get it out, you know? And then 30 minutes later, the Holy Spirit just kind of does that little simple jab that he does sometimes. Hey, you asked for opportunities to witness this morning. What about that one right there that you just passed up? That's me, I'm sorry. I'm not used to using these things, okay? I'm used to just hollering at the young people. Then the third thing that we need to do to become a Christian who lives with courage is we've got to trust God's precepts. What's a precept? It's a principle that God gives us in his word to follow, a commandment per se, okay? Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If we're going to obey his commandments, the precepts that he gives us, we can't be compromisers. What's right today was right 20 years ago, and it'll be right 20 years in the future. God's word never changes, so we shouldn't be changing, and we shouldn't compromise when it comes time to stand up. It's easy to do. Our old sinful nature wants us to give in, be part of the crowd, not offend anybody. You know, I think the hardest people to witness to are our families, you know? Or you witness to somebody in your family and they get angry with you. Ooh, you just stirred up a hornet's nest. And it's hard to overcome that. But we need to stand on the principles of God's word. And if we do that, he's going to take care of the situation. Now, we need to do it with compassion. You know, we can be too hardcore sometimes when we begin to witness to people. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we'll say the right things, and we will not compromise his word. And then his precepts need to be observed. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt meditate therein on it day and night. You can't meditate on it if you don't put it in there. You know, our brain is the greatest computer that's ever been constructed or ever will be constructed. God did it long ago. We sing a little song to the kids, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. That should be us. It shouldn't be just to the elementary kids. What goes in here and in here is stored in our memory bank. And if we don't store the right things, we need to understand that it's probably going to come out here at some point. We need to keep our thought life so clean and make sure that the things we think about, the things we look at, the things we listen to, the music that we listen to, the books that we read, the TV programs. You can't watch anything on TV now because they'll come out, take the Lord's name in vain. And it's supposed to be clean, PG or whatever, you know. There's no parental guidance because parents today, most of them, want the church and the school to raise their kids. It's not their responsibility, it's parents' responsibility. And so we need to teach our kids. Meditate. The world's view of meditation is to empty your mind. Not so in God's realm. We need to be filling our mind and focusing on God's word. That's where we get our courage from. It's from God's word. It's from what's stored in our brain. Why store it? Because if you're like me, I've gotten to the point where I forget a few things every now and then. Not many. But you know what? Things I memorized as a kid, I can still quote. When I got into Bridge Recovery, it was Reformers Unanimous, and they asked me to go in and help 10 or 12 years ago. I said, sure, I'll be glad to. Boy, I walked in the classroom, they had 10 big old pieces of scripture they wanted me to memorize. I said, whoa, time out. I didn't come in here and memorize scripture. I had trouble memorizing in school, which was not true. And Brother Gillett's dad looked at me and he said, I guarantee you, he said, you can sing every note of that song that you like, huh? I said, well, yeah. He said, how did you learn all the notes of that song? You listened to it and you heard it over and over again. He said, it's all you got to do to memorize. Take that scripture and write it down, stick it in your pocket, look at it 10 times a day and quote it. End of the week, you'll know it. I said, nah, it works. You can teach an old dog new tricks if you do it in the right way. So we need to memorize scripture so it'll be in our heart and our mind when we need it. And I've got to shut down. So, conclusion, to live a courageous Christian life, we have to do three things for sure. We have to trust God's promises. We have to trust that God is with us, his presence. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So he's always there to draw from, to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. And then we need to trust God's precepts, His commandments, His leadership through His word. Does it work? Absolutely it works. But if you'll notice, the first word in all three of those points is trust. Do you trust the Lord today? Are you a courageous Christian? That's just the first lesson in the 10 that we're going to look at. So I'd encourage you to be back next week, and we'll look at the second session. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you that you always give us the experiences and the things that we need to help us to grow, draw closer to you. Lord, we love you. We want to love you more every single day. So, Lord, we need to learn how to trust you. Realize that you're there for us. You'll never leave us. You'll be with us no matter what the situation, what the circumstance. So, Lord, help us this week to look for those opportunities to witness. Help us this week to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Help us this week, Lord, to love with compassion the way that your Son loved. Bless Dr. Fielder as he comes to preach this morning, Lord. Every time the word's open, you have something special for each one of us. Help us to listen with an open heart and an open mind and figure out what it is you want us to get out of this message today, Lord, and then apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, sometimes even when we're unlovable. Give us a great week. Bless the conference that's coming up, all the speaking. Help us to be here at every opportunity to see what we can learn so we can learn to be more like Jesus. We'll pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.